Good morning. So glad you could join us this morning. We are in our second week in our new series on the life of David. Trust you're all cozied up on your couch or your favorite spot in your house, or I don't know, maybe it's going to be a nice day and you're out on the porch, but glad you could join us. As I mentioned, this is a series we've just started about the life of David. We're going to focus the series specifically on the greatest compliment that was ever paid to him, and that was that God himself called David a man after his own heart. And I think that is such an amazing thing to be said about someone. That we want to explore that a little deeper. So to be clear, our goal here is not just to learn about David. This isn't just about admiration. You know, we don't want to just walk away from this saying, isn't he or wasn't he great? This isn't just about information. You know, we can study and find out all kinds of unique facts and go, man, isn't that interesting? That's so cool. But that's really not what we want to focus on with our time either. We want to focus on transformation. We want to be different when we are done with the series than we were when we started. The goal of the series is to become people after God's own heart, not just learn about someone who did. All right? Our story for today may be one of the most popular stories, well-known stories, not just in the Bible, but just in general, in all of history. And we find it in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's the account of David and Goliath. And sometimes these familiar stories can be tricky. It's easy to kind of feel like, oh, you know, I've kind of learned everything I can learn out of this story. But I would challenge you to suspend that belief for the next number of minutes. We have to remind ourselves that we are reading the Word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And like a two-edged sword or a one-edged sword for that matter, just because it cut you once doesn't mean it can't cut you again. This is the active Word of God. And if we will open ourselves up to it, the Lord will speak through the same scripture over and over again. So before we dive into his word, let's just invite him into our houses, into our cars, wherever you are, and join us and begin this transformation process. So Lord, we give you this moment. God, I ask that you would speak to each one of us through your word. Lord, we thank you that we have these accounts. God, we thank you that you have saw fit to not be silent in our lives. And so, God, I ask that you would speak to me, speak through me in these next number of minutes, that we would hear clearly what it is that you want to say to us this morning. Amen. Okay. So we're going to just jump right in, just to catch you up kind of in the story of from where we're going to pick up the text. This is one of the first stories we see of David. He's still very young. He's probably 15 years old. We know a couple of things up to this point. We know that David is the son of a guy named Jesse. We know that he's a shepherd for his father and his flocks. We know that Samuel, the prophet at that time, has already anointed David as the next king because God had rejected Saul, the current king, because of his disobedience. There's some debate as to whether Saul actually knew about that Samuel had anointed him or not, and that kind of comes into play a little bit later. But that's where we're going to pick the story up in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Philistines and the Israelites, who were enemies all throughout the Old Testament, you see these two countries kind of constantly at war with each other. And here's another battle, it says, that they had lined up. And basically what they had found themselves in a standoff. It says they were at the Valley of Ella. And if you notice, you know, a valley, it's a low point and there's two high points. And this causes a standoff when armies would meet because each side would have to cross the valley to get to the other. And what that does is it would leave you very vulnerable. All right. So having the high ground in a hand-to-hand combat situation is very important. And so what ended up happening was these two armies were just kind of like stalemated, seeing who was going to be willing to charge across this kind of kill box, if you will. And so for for 40 days, they just sat there. And every day for 40 days, there was this one guy, his name was Goliath, this giant man with giant armor and an even more giant mouth would come out. And he would say the same thing. And we find this in verse 8. He says, it says, Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I am the Philistine champion, but you are only servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." And when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Now, quick side note before we get to David. He's about to enter the picture, but as I was reading this week, this kind of caught my attention, and I just felt like I needed to kind of share this point, even though it's not really where we're going today. We all face giants, right? We all have giants in our life, and this is, Goliath is probably one of the most famous analogies for struggles and obstacles and opposition in our life that we've probably heard multiple sermons on that. The giant in your life may not be a physical person. It may be a circumstance. It may be a loss of a job. It may be a health issue or an issue that's destroying a relationship with someone close to you. Or the giant could sometimes, a lot of the time, this giant just is something that lives between our two ears. It's an insecurity. It's a fear that we have. It's an addiction that's paralyzing you. Whatever your giant is, I want you to notice one thing from this story. And to make my point, I'm going to have to spoil the ending. But, this story didn't come out last week. I don't think I'm giving away too much here. What was the deal that Goliath, we just read it, Goliath offered the Israelites at the beginning of every day when he went out and he taunted them? If you win, we'll serve you. And if you win, we'll serve you. And if we win, we'll serve the other way around. You know what I'm talking about. Is that what happened? No, not at all. When Goliath goes down, what does it say? It says the armies fled. They ran away. They didn't hold up their end of the bargain. And my point is simple, but it's one you need to hear. You can't trust a giant. The enemy lies. That's what he does. The Bible calls Satan the father of lies. And so the only person that knows the future is God. And there's only two reasons God ever really lets us in on the future. And it's for two things. It's to give us direction or it's to encourage us. So if here's the deal. If the deal that you're hearing isn't producing one of those two things in your heart and in your mind, then it's not the Lord that's speaking. And you need to hang up the phone. You may say, but the bad thing happened. I lost my job. Or they did break up with me, or I didn't get into that school, or whatever it is. But you know what I've noticed, at least in my own life, is that when those situations happen, my current turmoil is not so much about what just happened. It's about what I've decided is about to happen. It's not so much that I've lost my job. It's that because I've lost my job, I believe I'm not going to be provided for the next who knows how long. It's because that person broke up with me, I believe I'm never going to find somebody else, right? It's the fear of the future that we struggle with most of the time. There's this old acronym that's gone around. Maybe you've heard it. It's for the word fear. It says, it's future events appearing real. This is our struggle. This is most of our giants most of the time. And the solution is simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. We have to stop listening to the giants because amazing things will happen in our lives when we do. And as we jump back into our story, we'll see that. So it's been 40 days. Goliath's challenge has been going out over and over again. And then one day, Jesse sends David to the front. His brothers were there serving in the army. And so Jesse sent David to the battle with supplies to kind of replenish their food stocks and whatnot. And as David gets there, Goliath is doing his daily trash talk. He's out there, you know, being boisterous and all this. And in verse 24, the story continues. He says, "As soon as the Israelite army heard and saw him, they began to run away in fright. 'Have you seen the giant?' the men asked. 'He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and that man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes.'" Man, how amazing would that be? Verse 26, "David asked the soldiers standing by, 'What will a man get if for killing this Philistine and ending this defiance of Israel? And who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?' And these men gave David the same reply. They said, 'Yes, that is the reward for killing him.'" I love David's attitude here. It comes through so clearly in the text. You know, these guys tell him about all these rewards that someone will get for fighting this Philistine. And David can't believe it. He's like, "You said what? Oh, wow." And then, you know, his response to this, who is this guy anyway? It's so almost dismissive, while everybody else is totally scared. David's reaction is totally different than anyone else's in the camp. Where everyone else saw a giant, David saw a giant opportunity. He had a different perspective, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But there's a good caution here for all of us as well. Look at his brother's response. He says these things, and immediately his brothers begin to demean him. They begin to treat him like an annoying little looky-loo that's just there for his own enjoyment. As we become people after God's own heart, some people are going to resent it. Not everyone's going to be on board or happy with strength that you find in yourself or in God for yourself. But their resentment won't and can't stop you if you don't let them. And we see it won't stop others. Because while it repels some, it will attract others. And we see that as we read in the verse going forward in verse 31. "Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him." David didn't even have to make his own case. People heard his attitude and heard his kind of reaction to this whole thing. And they went and told the king, and he was given an audience. And in verse 32, David says, "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." And here's where we see clearly one of the qualities, and the one we're going to focus on today, in David that made him a man after God's own heart. And that's David had courage to take on the giant. When everyone else is shaking in their boots, David was itching to take this guy down. And here's the crazy thing. The truth is that David wasn't the only person in that camp that could have killed Goliath. It was David's courage that made him a hero that day, not just his skill. It wasn't a skill thing. I'm sure that there were archers in that army, plenty of archers in that army that could have made that same shot, that famous shot that David takes with his sling. Courage is such a powerful characteristic. It's what enables first responders to run into buildings when everybody else is running out. And we see a lot of that today with all these healthcare workers on the front lines, and some of the footage you've seen, the footage especially from New York at the peak, just these people walking in to just unbelievable difficult circumstances, you know, fighting this germ that you can't even see, and you garb up as much as you can, and sometimes they didn't even have that, and they still went in and performed their duty because they had the courage to do so. Listen, God is looking for men and women who have courage to stand against giants. Stand not just for the giants in their life, but the giants in other people's lives as well. You know, Goliath technically wasn't even David's giant. It was Saul's. David wasn't even in the army. He just was there to deliver supplies. Saul was the king. Saul was the one that was responsible for the safekeeping of Israel. The Lord wants to develop in you a courageous heart that takes out the fear in your own life and then goes and stands next to somebody else and helps take the fear out of theirs. Courage to walk with a friend through a painful breakup, or courage to speak up for a coworker when they're getting taken advantage of, and they don't have the courage to stand up for themselves, to stand by them and not let them get taken advantage of. Maybe the courage to share Jesus with somebody you know. So how do we develop this courage? You know, we said this is about transformation. It's one thing to say, oh, look how great David was. It's another thing to say, but how do I become great? How do I adapt that mentality? You can't just choose to be more courageous. I don't think it happens that quickly or that easily. But we can see some elements in here of how God develops the courage in David. And that I think we can learn from, and that we can grow from. I found three things in this story that led, I think, to David's courageousness. And I want to give them to you with the rest of our time this morning. The first one is that David had the right preparation. He was prepared for that moment. It says he had just come from the fields. Well, we know what David was doing in those fields. We have an entire book dedicated to what David was doing in those fields. He was tending sheep, certainly. But he was also spending time with God. We know that through Scripture that David was an incredible worshiper, and we know that while he was in those fields, he was spending time meditating on the Word of God. We read that all last week. We read Psalm 119. If you took that challenge, you know that David's passion in life was knowing God through His Word and loving His truth and His attributes. And so we see, while everybody else was in this camp, on this field, listening to this giant's threats, David was in a different field listening to the Lord. And listen, the longer you listen to threats, the more you're going to need to get back to the field. It's in that field that we get the right frame of mind to think courageously or to begin to act courageously. Some of us need to get back into those fields. You know, life is difficult. And sometimes when we face a giant, sometimes the best thing we need to do is to stop trying to fight that giant and go find an empty field and get in God's presence and let Him restore your strength, as David says in Psalm 23. Some of us also maybe have been in a field too long. You know, the other thing is, David was never going to kill Goliath from his own field. He had to go to the battlefield to find it. And some of us need to go find a giant because our goal in life is to just stay in that field. While we're always supposed to stay connected to God, but we're not supposed to just stay in a place where there's nothing but safety. That's not what God calls us to do. He wants us to be giant killers, and so we have to go where the giants are sometimes. So number one, he had the right preparation. Number two, he recognized that he had the right perspiration. David saw that God had put in him an ability to get the job done, even when the king objected. Look in verse 33, after David says, "I can kill this guy," verse 33, "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. He's been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted. "I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "And when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. And if the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death." David recognized the value of what God had already done through him. Too often, I think you undervalue and I undervalue what we've already experienced. God has been already training you for the fight in front of you. You and Jesus have already slayed some giants in your life. Some of you this week, some of you maybe even right now, need to just put this on pause and make a list of the giants that you and Jesus have already slayed in your life. Maybe it was a financial burden or a debt that you were able to cancel. Maybe it was a broken relationship that you were able to restore. Maybe it was a health scare or something that God brought you through. God has and will always prepare us for the giants that we face, whether we're aware of it in the moment or not. David says it this way in Psalm 144. He says, "Praise the Lord, who is my rock. He trains my hand for war and gives my fingers skill for the battle." Take heart today. Whatever giant you are facing, it didn't surprise God, and he has prepared you for this battle. You don't have to go get prepared or ask God to quickly change who you are so you can be ready. He has made you ready already. So David had the right preparation. He had the right perspiration. And finally, David had the right motivation. He knew that God wanted Goliath taken out. It says, if we read on in verse 36, he says, "I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too. For he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." And finally, Saul consented and said, "All right, go ahead, and may the Lord be with you." And you know the rest of the story. David goes down, grabs a couple of rocks, walks out there, and, you know, the Goliath is doing his trash talking, only probably took him by surprise. David starts trash talking right back at him. You know, says that famous line, you know, "You come at me with a sword and a shield, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. And today I'm going to feed you the beast of the air." And he takes that sling and he lays him out, and then he runs over and grabs Goliath's own sword and chops his head off. It's awesome. But if you think about it, the battle was actually, I mean, as that account unfolds, that's not a long fight, right? That's like one of those early fights with Tyson where it was like, he went like 3 or 4 fights in a row where if you added them all up, it was like 1 minute and 30 seconds. That's what kind of fight we're talking about here. It didn't last long, because really the main battle here was a battle of the heart. It was David having the courage to step on that field and take on Goliath, because he knew he wasn't going to be there alone. As followers of Jesus, our courage comes from one place, and that's knowing that it's not all up to us. See, David was a great warrior, but the reality is that's not really what his biggest strength was. David's best strength, what makes him a man after God's own heart, is that for David, the key for David was making sure it wasn't about David. Look back at these characteristics. His preparation in the field was knowing that God is here. His perspiration, recounting that lion and the bear, that's the truth that God was already there in the past. He was with him then. And then his motivation, what does he say? "God will rescue me." He was confident that God will be there in the future. If you want to be a person after God's own heart, you will need courage. And that courage comes from knowing that Jesus is with you and Jesus is for you. Nothing Jesus did on earth was by accident. We know that. How much more should we consider his absolute last sentence before he went away into the clouds? Do you remember it? He says in Matthew 28, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He says, you know, don't forget, I am here with you no matter what. Remember, I always have your back. The whole reason Jesus came and paid the price for our sin on the cross was so that he could be with us. Last week, I asked you to read Psalms 119. And as we close, I want to offer you a similar challenge today. Every day this week, would you take literally 1 minute and read Psalm 121? It's only 8 verses, and some of you will probably have this memorized, which is a great thing by the end of the week if you take this challenge. And it's a great encapsulation of the truth we've been talking about this morning, about what made David so courageous, and how can we develop that in ourselves. And so, in fact, as we close our time today, I want to close by just praying this as a blessing over all of us. So would you just join your heart with mine as we read this scripture? So, Father, we lift up our eyes to the mountains where our help comes from. Our hope comes from you, O Lord, maker of heaven and earth. You will not let our foot slip. He who watches over us will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord will not harm you day by day, nor night by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. We'll see you next week.